Weather could cause last-minute changes to the Kluane Chilkat bike race, and the Skagway Assembly works toward a balanced budget. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Weather could be an issue for one of Haines' biggest events of the year. Race organizers for the Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay have a close eye on the forecast for Saturday's race. They'll meet tonight and make a final decision about the race course based on road and weather conditions tomorrow morning. Board member Judy Ewald says they may shut down portions of the race if there's snow on the road. The nearly 150-mile relay runs from Haines Junction in the Yukon to the Haines Parade Grounds. Around 1,300 riders are registered for this year's event. The relay is made up of 8 legs, with one on either side of the summit. Legs 5 and 6 are most likely to be affected by poor road conditions. Ewald says there was some slush and snow along the road yesterday. She says the forecast for race day is poor and encourages riders to dress warmly. KHNS will provide updates on the race on our Facebook page. Before passing a budget for the upcoming fiscal year, the Skagway Assembly is trying to raise revenue and trim expenses as much as possible. The Assembly made a few last-minute decisions, including asking most department heads to reduce their budgets by 5%. At a meeting Thursday, the Assembly postponed adoption of the spending plan to next week. The Assembly got down to business at a budget workshop in early June.
We've got some fixing to do. We can't pass an unbalanced budget.
That's Mayor Mark Schaefer. He told the Assembly they needed to address an about $1.5 million general fund deficit and a $1.1 million sales tax fund deficit. Now the borough is set to have a surplus in the sales tax fund that could cover the deficit in the general fund. That's according to Treasurer Heather Rodig. The Assembly reached that balance with a combination of changes. In terms of raising revenue, the Assembly moved to reduce the usual winter retail sales tax holiday from 6 months to 2. Steve Burnham Jr. pointed out that when the tax holiday first started in the early 2000s, it was a couple weeks or a month.
The idea of a sales tax holiday should be more of a holiday. And not so much of a six-month vacation.
Jay Burnham was the only Assembly member opposed to the November 1st to December 31st holiday.
I also see it as kind of a drastic from 6 months to 2 months is kind of a big jump.
Another revenue-generating change, utility rate increases. The Assembly plans to hike garbage and sewer rates by 10% and water rates by 5%. At the June 8th budget workshop, the Assembly came up with the idea of asking borough departments to cut budgets by 5%. Here's new member Monica Carlson.
I know it might be hard for the managers to do a budget and reduce the 5%, but there's 5% in there that they can get rid of.
The Assembly acknowledged that it was late in the game to make this request. Borough Manager Scott Hahn said he would ask department heads to get as close to a 5% cut as they could. At the Assembly's regular meeting Thursday, they saw a budget with those reductions. Administration, the library, and the museum had cut exactly 5% from their spending plans. Others, like the police and fire departments, had smaller reductions. The Assembly did change some of those proposals. They pushed back on cuts to public works and any proposed reductions to pay. There are some capital projects the Assembly plans to postpone to save money. For example, they removed funding for Broadway sidewalk repairs and a comprehensive plan. The Assembly did add $20,000 back into the budget for something that garnered significant public support, a climate action plan. One resident, Will Godby, spoke against spending money on what he called CO2 alarmism.
All I can say is it's scare tactics. People want to control you, and this is their method of getting control. by saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, follow us.
But Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. agreed with more than 30 residents who signed a petition urging Skagway leaders to start thinking about climate change now. He said the plan would start with a baseline study of greenhouse gas emissions in Skagway.
I think if we turn our back on the possibilities of the future, we're turning our back on future citizens of Skagway. We're not doing what we're supposed to be as far as forward-looking and planning and making informed decisions.
The Assembly okayed the $20,000 for a climate action plan in a 4-2 vote. Because of all the budget revisions made Thursday night, the Assembly decided to hold a special meeting to conduct one more reading of the spending plan. That meeting is June 21st at 7 p.m. The Assembly also postponed two executive sessions, one to continue the borough manager evaluation and another to discuss police chief duties with Chief Ray Leggett. Those are now set for the June 21st meeting. In Southeast Alaska, populations of some marine mammals like humpback whales and stellar sea lions are on the rise. Some subgroups of these species have recently been removed from the endangered species list, leaving many commercial fishermen wondering what this means for them. But as KFSK reporter Nora Sachs found out, it's still business as usual when it comes to dealing with protected marine mammals in Southeast waters.
In early June, NOAA Fisheries representatives held a virtual community roundtable in Petersburg to update fishermen and the public on marine mammal policies and clear up any confusion. Ilaria Jensen is the deputy of Alaska's Protected Resources Division for the agency.
One of the questions I know has been on people's minds is this pretty monumental change that happened last year for humpback whales.
Three different groups of humpbacks migrate to coastal Alaska. Last September, one was delisted, one was reclassified as threatened, and one from the western North Pacific remains endangered. It's a similar story with stellar sea lions. Two populations can be found in the area. One is endangered and one isn't. Since it's impossible to tell these genetically distinct populations apart by sight, Jensen said they all have to be treated the same and afforded full protection under the Endangered Species Act.
So for you, essentially, that means business as usual. That's really the status quo of how we've been operating. Nothing is changing in terms of, you know, a vessel's behavior around a whale.
Sea lions can steal salmon from commercial nets or become a harbor nuisance, while whales can get tangled in nets and crab gear. There are devices like noisemakers, visual repellents, and exclusion barriers on the market intended to keep these animals away. But there's currently no list of agency-approved or prohibited deterrence methods to guide fishermen, which means there isn't a clear answer to the million-dollar question of whether or not fishermen can use deterrence to protect their gear and catch, or which ones. It's a situation which seemed to frustrate NOAA Fisheries staff as much as fishermen. Ilaria Jensen again.
We have really looked to our national program to provide that guidance, and it certainly has been long in coming.
A draft list is in the works and should come out sometime next year. Even when the list is finalized, likely in 2019, it will only address the impact of each deterrent on marine mammals, not its effectiveness. And while the Marine Mammal Protection Act allows fishermen to use deterrents to protect their property as long as no animals are hurt, the Endangered Species Act does not contain the same explicit exemption. While NOAA officials wait for better standards and clearer regulations, Jensen said right now they need the fishing industry's help to come up with creative solutions.
This really is fundamentally such a challenging issue. You know, how do we protect gear, catch, human? How do we account for human safety and, you know, not use something that has that injurious or negative effect to marine mammals?
NOAA Fisheries plans to hold listening sessions to gather more input from commercial fishermen, and a few stuck around to chat after the meeting. Julianne Curry is on the board of the Petersburg Marine Mammal Center and is a longtime seiner.
People will keep fishing, people will keep boating, people will keep coming to Alaska on cruises, and we're just going to have to cautiously figure out how to operate in this world where marine mammal populations are exploding to levels that we've never seen in generations.
Bill Netter Max Warhatch said he hasn't seen very many humpbacks so far this year. But when he does...
I got an aluminum boat, so I just take a stick and beat on the boat when they get close to the boat. And then it kind of, I think, humpbacks don't use echolocation. They just use their ears and their eyes, so it kind of makes them aware. And I've had minimal incidents with whales, so it seems like it works for me.
For now, NOAA fisheries representatives recommend avoiding marine mammals as much as possible and not doing anything that could cause more interactions, like dumping fish waste near boats. In Petersburg, I'm Nora Sachs.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.